You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net. Broadcasting from a room about the size of your closet, except we've got more expensive junk. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon. Hey, keep your eyes on the road. That's how accidents happen. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning and welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We've got Brandon with us. He found some time out of his busy schedule to be a part of things.
I just noticed that lead-in makes it sound like I'm advocating for car accidents.
Are you not?
No, I wasn't. No, I thought that was a public service announcement. I didn't know we were trying to get people into car wrecks.
Well, I'm just glad that you could be here with us today. If you want to be a part of the show, podcast at nativetalk.net is the email, and you can always check us out on facebook.com/nativetalkradio. Now, one of the reasons why I'm so glad that you could join us is because the time change just occurred.
Oh, God.
What,
a
weekend?
That was awful.
Just a few days ago.
And I didn't know it was happening, and I had work the night before till like 9:30, and I had work the next day early in the morning.
Oh, I was in Seattle, dude. I was in Seattle, and my plane left at 5:30 in the morning. That's when it left. It like boarded at 5 a.m., which, because of the time change on Sunday morning, it was 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why did I do this to myself? Now, do you know how long daylight savings time has been going on?
I would guess around 100 years.
Not around, my friend.
Exactly 100 years. Ding, 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 ding. I rock.
It survived the Great Depression, World
Just
War
II. Just call me Mount Rushmore, because I rock.
And everybody complaining about its good and bad points, but this month it celebrates 100 years. It was first enacted by the federal government in March of 1918 during World War I as a way to conserve coal. And it has been stupid ever since then.
Well, did it actually work? Did it conserve coal? Because then at least it was smart for that day. But why are we still doing it?
Yeah, because they're still trying to reduce energy and stuff like that. The Department of Transportation, which controls it, they say daylight savings time is still observed today because it saves energy, saves lives by preventing traffic accidents, and reduces crime. That's what they say.
What? Hold on. So me losing sleep makes me a safer driver? No.
They say that people tend to spend more time outside during daylight savings time, meaning
2018, buddy.
It means they run household appliances and their lights less during those months.
I just want to remind everyone that, okay, like 2 weeks ago when I was getting up for work in the morning, I could, you know, see and didn't have to turn on any lights. Now that we've sprung forward, it's dark in my house when I get up in the morning and I have to turn on lights. Good job, America.
Well, that just makes you wake up earlier. Look, I don't have a problem with daylight savings time, with the idea of it, because when I lived in Russia, we had the sun did not come up until probably 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and it was gone by 4 p.m.
Hello, northern latitudes in the winter.
Yeah, St. Petersburg. It was horrible in the winter time. So I'm no stranger to the darkness, okay? My problem is not with daylight savings time itself. It's with the fact that we keep flipping our clocks. That is so irritating.
Isn't that what daylight savings time is?
Well, you know what? 26 states.
Hold on, I gotta ask, right? You don't think the U.S. government tells the Earth to like spin different, right? You don't think they actually change the length of days?
No, they change the time. That's all daylight savings time is.
It's a make-believe, human-invented garbage fest that does nothing for anybody. And why do we still do it? We don't, except for Donald Trump. We're not even using coal.
That's a good one.
Great. The best coal. It's going to be so clean.
Well, 26 states have considered making daylight savings time permanent, according to Time Zone, a group tracking and promoting effort. Look, I don't have a problem with that, okay? Having daylight savings time be a permanent fixture is not a bad thing, because that means we wouldn't have to change the times. We would just have daylight savings time, and we would never go back to standard time. Because you know how they figured that out. Noon is when the sun is directly overhead.
At zenith, yeah.
And
but it depends on where you are, but yeah, all
right. Well, right, but that used to be the metric there. Wherever you are, noon is at when the sun is overhead. So times would change. No?
I'm just going to say bull crap on all this daylight savings time altogether. Here's how we do it. We go to the zero zone, green Greenwich time or whatever. We stand on the equator. Now, hold on. We stand on the equator and we wait until June 21st. And right when the sun is overhead on June 21st and green Greenwich time on the equator, we say, that's noon. Boom. The whole world is set to that time and nobody moves it at all. All right. Just let the earth spin because it's the same.
Yeah, it's daylight and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, really. And over in Russia, it's like, it's breakfast time at midnight.
Okay. I wasn't clear. I still want to have the time zones because of the spinning of the earth. But that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the basis. That's where it's like water freezes at 0 degrees Celsius. That's our baseline, right? So now we have our baseline and let's not move it around, people.
Well, no. Look, I don't want to move it around. I'm just saying that whatever they figure out. You know, daylight savings time is fine with me. It wakes me up earlier. I get home earlier. I've got more time for daylight. I don't have a problem with that. Okay. I just don't want to change the clocks anymore.
Okay. But Clifton, you're being ignorant because
I'm being ignorant.
Yes. Because the sun doesn't have the same length of daylight in the
hour. But you can change. Yeah. Look, the days are the same regardless, but by enacting daylight savings time and keeping it permanent, we're all waking up earlier than we normally would.
And then when the seasons change and the light is all wacky outside, they're going to be like, oh my God, it's sunny outside. When we're waking up, we have to change it.
You know what? Russia did exactly that. They enacted daylight savings time. When the clocks moved, they've never moved them back.
So here's what I don't understand. You think that by setting the clocks back an hour for the rest of our lives, we're going to be waking up an hour earlier. After like 3 days, we're all waking up at the same time as we are every day. No one's waking up earlier just because the clock is an hour
early. No. Okay. Let's say I go to work at 7. I work a 7-to-3 shift. Okay. That's not changing. The time that my work starts and ends stays the same. So if you move the clock, then, like spring forward, I'm not waking up at, I'm not going to work at 7 anymore. I'm going to work at 6. So I wake up earlier.
So you want to make it so that when it's 12 o'clock, the sun is not directly overhead, but more at an 11 o'clock position?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
That's daylight savings time.
That's dumb. It ignores high noon. All of our Western movies are null and void now. Look at what you did,
Cliff.
Oh,
my God. Well,
look. This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, you don't have to celebrate it or observe it. The decision to...
It's so dumb because if once the change is made and then you get rhythmic with that change, you don't change anymore. No one like why
That's
did
what
you
I'm
enact
saying.
It?
You shouldn't.
But why enact
at all.
It in the first place? If the purpose of it is defeated after a week, then why are we doing it at all?
Okay, look, I prefer daylight savings time to standard time, but I'm with you that the whole thing is stupid because I like waking up earlier.
Then wake up an hour earlier. Like,
yeah,
why does the sun in the sky matter when you wake up?
Work starts when work starts. Okay,
uh-huh.
I can't
and
dictate.
You know that'll be the same time if all the clocks are an hour different. Heck, if all the clocks are 6 hours different, it'll still start at the same time. You know this, right?
Yes.
God, it's all relative, people. And the reason you said they used it to conserve coal. Well, why? Because they're trying to heat and trying to keep things lit up, right?
Uh-huh.
So they did that because, so the Earth is tilted, right? And the sun, the point at which the sun is 90 degrees above the Earth, moves north and south. So when it's up really high by us, we get a lot of daylight. And when it's down really far, you get daytime from 11 to 4 in Russia. So they make these changes because people are still going to be awake during these hours and they want to adjust the daylight to match when the people are going to be awake. I find that ridiculous in 2018.
I do too.
When we have electricity. So scrap the whole project because I'm not heating my home with coal anymore. And let's just do it different.
Why I'm okay with this? That. I'm okay with that. Look, it's a state's choice to participate or not participate. If
oh, that's
they
not
do,
confusing.
Well, no. They just say if you participate, it must begin and end on the mandated dates. But Hawaii and most of Arizona don't take part in daylight savings time. In fact, in Arizona, which gets ample sunlight, that's why they don't observe it. They opted out in 1968, while Native American reservations in Arizona do observe the time.
Now, doesn't Southern California get the same amount of daylight as Arizona, and like Florida would get about the same?
Have you been to Arizona? It is hotter than the blazes of hell out there.
Well, right, but that's not gonna, like, the sun isn't the only reason that's happening. That's also due to continentality, but you said they do it because they get a bunch of sunlight.
That's what they
said.
Look,
I'm like, Antarctica gets a bunch of sunlight and it's freezing cold, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, look, Californians are kooky, which, by the way, I have a story. I swear to God, I have a story about that. About the
this guy's
kookiest,
from California, everyone.
The kookiest states. Okay, you know what? I'm going to do that right now then. Let me get my paper.
Florida better be on that
since
list.
Since you, it is. Well, in it's Oklahoma. Not. It's not necessarily just the what do you call it? This state or that state. It's cities.
Yeah. Oh, so you want to hear some news from Oklahoma that I learned yesterday?
Go ahead.
There was a woman who got arrested for marrying her daughter. Ew. And
what?
when they broke up the marriage between the mother and daughter, they found out that the mother had previously married her 18-year-old son.
Okay.
Ew.
And where was that?
Incest news from Oklahoma.
Okay. Why are you reading that?
Thank you, BBC, giving me true, reliable news.
If you believe that boring and average is abhorrent, you probably enjoy weird people. And no city in the United States beats
Florida.
New Orleans.
Oh,
when it comes
close.
To kooky people, from jazz band funerals to voodoo shops, New Orleans was ranked as the weirdest city in the country by readers of Travel and Leisure magazine. The offbeat culture in New Orleans has become so dominant that it's almost mainstream.
Wow.
The spa at the exclusive Ritz-Carlton even offers a voodoo massage. Aye! That includes chants and absinthe. I gotta get somebody down from the bayou to give me a voodoo massage.
Do they do voodoo in the bayou?
Yes, they do. That's where it came from, man. So New Orleans is number one. Portland, Oregon is third.
I can see that.
San Francisco is sixth. Seattle, Washington, ninth. Yeah, they do got
Dude,
some kooks.
It was really hard to
Seattle.
Walk into an REI in Portland, by the way.
Why?
Just because everybody
were they eating
was
granola?
They were all granola munching hippies, man. There was just spandex everywhere. Like, no joke. Every quote unquote outdoorsman that was there in REI had no less than $600-$700 worth of gear on their body, just in their clothes and shoes, which, shocker of all shockers, had no scuff marks from hiking or anything.
That's why they're third. So Seattle's ninth. New York is number 10. And Los Angeles, which you mentioned, is number 17th. So.
I don't think I mentioned L.A., but thanks for the credit.
You did. You asked about Los Angeles, and I said, because they're kooks.
Oh.
And you said that, you know, well, you're from California and stuff like that. All right, let's finish our daylight savings time with the most common complaints the Monday after the time change.
I'm so tired. I feel like I'm drunk. I can't function.
And then, of course, there's the person who keeps pointing out, you realize that it's actually an hour ago.
Got that guy.
Coming into work, thinking you're on time, but that's only because your work never moved the clocks forward, so you're late.
No, my favorite on that one is the guy who you know has a cell phone and only uses his cell phone as an alarm clock and just conveniently shows up an hour later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he's like, oh I'm sorry. The time changed.
Oh, that daylight savings time
like,
got
you
me.
Jerk. You are doing
like,
that
dude,
on purpose.
We moved the clocks the other direction. You're 2 hours late.
All right. Complaining about the time change is cutting into my complaining about the president time.
Awesome. That's the guy I hope sits next to me at work. Hoo-wee.
And, of course, getting those smug calls from your jerk relatives in Hawaii and Arizona. And last, complaining about all of the people complaining, which is what we've been doing for literally the last 15 minutes.
We're so fun.
All right. So when we come back, have you heard about the push to cut food stamps and what they're going to replace them with?
Oh, were you asking me now?
I was waiting for us to come back. No, I'm going to tell you. That's what we're going to come back with. I'm just saying, have you heard about
this? I was expecting to talk about it when we came back from your meeting.
Well, we are. But you heard about it?
I'm just being
a jerk. Did you hear about this?
I haven't heard about it. But in more news, more incest news from Oklahoma, that's how they got caught, was cashing a welfare check.
All right. We'll be back on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
You're listening to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast, the podcast that thinks it's cool.
I'd like to talk to you about a serious condition affecting countless men in our country.
To wear black socks with Bermuda shorts.
I'm talking, of course, about dad pants.
Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Our House Grief Support Center's mission is to provide the community with grief support services, education, resources, and hope. Our House, with the support of trained volunteer group leaders, helps those grieving find sweetness in the tears. With your help, you too can become a volunteer and help grieving children, teens, and adults embark on the journey to hope and healing. For more information, visit ourhouse-grief.org or call 888-417-1444.
Hey, this is Steve with thepeoplesammo.com. Do you enjoy the outdoor sportsman lifestyle? We've got the high-quality, reliable ammo you need, from home defense rounds to outdoor enjoyment. So check this out at thepeoplesammo.com, where we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all ammo is not created equal. Visit thepeoplesammo.com, where you can stock up on the quality rounds you deserve and shoot with confidence. thepeoplesammo.com.
This is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Hey, we've got our bathing suits on, and we all agree our hosts have the best bodies. For radio, that is. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Thank you for joining us and sticking with us right here at the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Message line, if you want to drop a line to us, leave a message.
Pick it back up when you're done.
What? 970-278-5791. And you can also visit us, NativeTalk.net, to download any of our past shows. Where do you hide a note if you want to keep it secret?
In my pants.
People are going to find it there.
That's where I keep all my C notes.
Let's say it's 1777, and your name is Joaquin Minguez, and you're the priest of the Cathedral of Burgo de Osma at the time, all right?
Am I on the west coast of America?
No, I believe you are in Mexico.
Crap. Better pack some bags.
Maybe. It could be,
It could be what was then Mexico, but is now California.
It could also be Spain, all right?
Oh, all right. Well, you know, they're right next to each other, right? Where's the map?
All right, so you've got this document. You know how, like, when you buy something and it comes with, like, documentation and stuff like that?
Oh, a receipt?
Yeah, like a receipt. And it's got the name of the sculptor, includes information about local practices like farming, community affairs, common diseases at the time, popular children's games, and even the names of successful bullfighters of the time.
Oh, yeah,
okay?
that's on, like, all of my receipts. Whenever I go to 7-Eleven,
No, you've got the receipt, and like, you want to do, like, a time capsule, okay?
Sounds like a newspaper. What kind of receipt is this?
So where do you put it? You want to make sure that maybe someday people will find it.
Well, yeah, you said time capsules, so the first thing I think of is modern time capsules. But back in the day, before that was common knowledge, I don't know, I might stuff it in a wall that's being built or something.
Okay, well, Joaquin Minguez had just bought this 18th century wooden statue. I mean, for him, it was brand new. That's why he got the receipt, and he just decided to include it in there. And it was a wooden statue of Jesus Christ. And
good. I was going to make a sex doll joke, and now I'm really happy I didn't.
So they
it was
going to
involve wood, just so you all know.
Well, it's been around ever since that time, and they were restoring it, making it look all nice. Turns out that secret note the priest hid, it was in his rear end.
Bum, bum, bum.
They're like, what? He shoved a note, like this time capsule, up his bum.
What? What? In the butt.
Da Vinci Restauro, this is the guy who's doing the restoration, says references
really?
Indicate...
Really? This guy does restoration. He named himself Da Vinci Restario. Really?
Yes, that is true. He says that the references indicate that its author intended for the note to act as a time capsule for future generation. Hey, what better place to hide it than Jesus's tushy?
I would say whatever floats your boat, but he's made out of wood, so.
That would float a boat. All right, let's talk about the welfare system in America.
Oh, how much fun. I've been looking forward to this so much now, all the way since last break.
Have you ever used food stamps before?
Does it count if I was like 3 or 4 years old and it wasn't of my own choice?
Well, I mean, have you seen them? Do you remember how they used to be?
I very vaguely remember Dad feeling super uncomfortable. I was like 3, 4 years old, and he left the line. He walked away from Mom, who was paying with them when she pulled out the food stamps. I don't remember exactly what the argument was. Now I imagine it was him saying, we don't need them, and her saying, yeah, we do, and pulling them out, and him getting all mad and walking away. Yeah. But that's what I remember. I remember Dad being mad whenever Mom brought home canned food or pulled out a book of paper to pay the guy at the store, you know?
Well, it's I understand it's embarrassing. You know what I mean?
I don't understand it personally because, like, especially in today's world where there's limits to how long you can have it or you have to meet certain requirements to get on it, and it's not a permanent thing. It's like people have to show that they're trying to get a job or that, you know, it's only a limited time that they're able to access it. So
I think that's for cash assistance, not for food stamps, man. If you're getting cash assistance that you can use for like other stuff, you do have to show that you're looking for a job and turn in all that stuff. Same thing with unemployment. But food stamps, for example, they have income limits. And if you're making above this, then you don't qualify for it. But let's say you're a family of four and you've got, you know, you're working at Mickey D's. You know what I'm saying? And you're making enough money to pay your bills, but you're running short on food every month. So they say, okay, if you're under this guideline and you have this many people, you get this much in assistance. So it's like a comparative. So if you're making good money, they might give you $50, and you know, $50 might help.
And you're probably right. And I'm a little behind on my research, but if I remember back in like 2012, when we last had a kid, they were telling us we could get like 6 weeks of food stamps and everything like that. And there was some limit to how long a person could be on the program. They don't, as far as I understood at the time, in California, at least, they didn't allow you to stay on the program indefinitely.
Yeah,
for that reason,
you don't want people to starve either.
For that reason, I don't see the embarrassment aspect. It's like, hey, I'm working hard. I got to do what I got to do. And this is just temporary. For those reasons, I don't see why people are embarrassed about it. You're just trying to get back on your feet. But, I know people do feel embarrassed about it.
You also realize that it's incredibly expensive to give. I mean, because whether they're buying food or whatever, the money's coming from the government, folks paying taxes. And it's expensive to give that many people food assistance, you know,
especially since we're giving them. And I don't want to sound crass or anything here, because I want to let everyone know I've gone to a food bank and I've eaten what the label says expired. You know, the label says the food's expired. You cook that up and eat it. There's no problem with it. So my next suggestion comes from a place of having stood in those lines and eaten that food before. I say we rely more heavily on food banks. We're throwing away so much food in our country. It's perfectly good food that we're just adding to landfills. Why aren't we redirecting that food, having government assistance transport that food from the supermarkets to these food banks, and so that we give expired food away rather than throw it away in the garbage.
Well, that's actually what is being suggested, because we have 42 million. That's a lot of people. 42 million receiving an average of $125. That's more than $5 billion per month. That's wow. That's going to food assistance and these food stamps. $5 billion.
I'm curious. I truly don't know the number of our military. I don't truly don't know the number of our military spending. How much do you know that off the top of your head?
I don't know that.
I have not, because I'm wondering, because I just want to put it in comparative, like how much does that cost versus the security of our country? You know, like that. I'd be interested in that statistic.
Well, I would too. I just have no idea. But sorry,
you came prepared.
I'm not Cliff Clavin from Cheers. Okay, Google
Look,
it.
I Google it, people. Yeah, I expect if I have a random question, I want you to be there with the answer. You need to work harder.
So just figure you're spending $5 billion of tax money every month. You want to cut that. How do you do it?
Yeah, I would look at the areas that I'm wasting money and say, hey, can I cut back on this waste and transfer it over here to this cost and try and cover both areas?
Well, you called it earlier, yeah. Food bank, boxes yeah. of canned goods. Now, you realize that this is something that's been going on specifically in Indian country for a very long time.
Oh.
As a child, Ade Romero Briones eagerly awaited the government truck that delivered her family's monthly food box from to the designated drop-off spot at New Mexico's Cochiti Indian Reservation. Now, they had good packages and bad packages, and you never knew what you were going to get. A good package had real butter and cheese in it.
Oh, so good.
A bad package, powdered eggs and some kind of canned meat that reminded her of dog food.
She says
that she had to dig through many layers of gelatinous goo to reach the actual protein poured yeah. into the bowl. Yeah, I can understand how you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, ugh, that's bad.
But it was the powdered milk that she dreaded the most. When she came down to the kitchen in the morning and saw her grandma preparing oatmeal or cereal with the flaky milk. Have you ever tasted powdered milk?
There was only once I ever saw it, and it was from you. You had it in the garage, and you made it, but I don't remember drinking it.
Yeah, you know what?
I think it was condensed milk.
Yeah, because we would go hiking and camping and stuff like that, and I realized very quickly when you're walking many miles that a pound feels like about 5 pounds every
yeah,
mile
serious.
You walk, okay? So I was looking at trying to cut my weight and on my bag, and so I got this powdered milk. Turns out it doesn't taste real good.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have to chew when you're drinking milk.
So when she would see her grandma preparing cereal or oatmeal with flaky milk, she couldn't help but cringe, and she says it felt like the rest of her day would only be filled with more disappointment.
That's it. Yeah, not the breakfast of champions.
It was like eating cereal with water, she says. Tasting real milk was almost like candy to us.
Wow.
Now she's an attorney with expertise in agricultural law, so Romero Briones, and she's also the director of Native Food and Agricultural Programs at First Nations Development Institute. So she's working on improving food access, health and nutrition to Native American families across the country. So this is obviously something that's near and dear to her heart, because she remembers growing up with this garbage.
Yeah. Okay.
This was all part of the food distribution program on Indian reservations, which was a project of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which was established back in the 1970s. Problem back then was you didn't have a lot of grocery stores. So folks getting food stamps, where are they going to shop at? They don't have, you know, your local Raley's or Bel Air or that you can go check out, you know?
I love how Clifton clearly has no idea where to shop with food stamps.
Don't you go to Raley's or Bel Air?
Usually not. Usually you don't go to the most expensive stores to help your food stamps.
They got the best stuff there. I love Raley's and Bel Air. They've got fine meats and produce.
Yeah, and I obviously don't know how food stamps work either, because maybe it's like, oh, this gallon of milk is, you get it from anywhere. So maybe you can go to Raley's and Bel Air, but I just imagine I'd probably want to go to a cheaper store and let it stretch further.
So this, maybe if you're poor, you do want to stretch your dollar farther.
Like
so,
a Save Mart or something. Like, I don't really want to go to Raley's.
Okay, I'm not going to Save Mart. You wouldn't catch me dead in one of those places.
That's right. You'd catch you living because it's full of good food.
So the delivery of these uniform food boxes was presented as an alternative option for reservations located in remote rural areas with very few supermarkets. So recipients could choose whether they wanted the boxes of food or SNAP. So it's not like they were forcing it on them. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact.
Wait, boxes of food or what?
Or food stamps.
Oh, or stamps. Okay. Food stamps. I didn't hear the word you said.
Now
that's
it's all. It's like a credit card that you use. They don't actually make
EBT
you.
EBT or whatever.
Yeah. They don't have to do the funny money anymore.
You don't have to break out a coupon book of stamps and all that.
Yeah. So you can get the food boxes even still today. It remains an option, although now it's administered locally by tribal organizations and state agencies. And they just receive federal funding. They got $150 million, and they serve about 90,000 low-income native households every month. In 2009, the average food box was valued. Now, this is going to blow you away how much they're spending on these food boxes. $78 per month.
Wow.
But, you know, it's a money saver because, you know, people are out there buying expensive stuff and they're not stretching their dollars. So you give them staples, you know. Problem is when you're going cheap, many of the products are high in salt and sugar. Yeah, because people going to the
processed crap.
Okay, because poor people going to the grocery store, they're not eating things high in salt and sugar today. They're buying the fresh fruits and vegetables at the grocery store, right?
What it more is that all that cheap crap, like if you want to spend a dollar and get something to eat, you can go to the produce section and spend a dollar on like 3/4 of an apple, or you can go to the frozen section and get a full plate of corn and Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes for $1, right?
So it's like this stuff is loaded with salt, dude.
Oh, I hear you. It's processed salt garbage. It's all preservative, but that's what's happening is these people are getting a small, at least that's what I understand is happening, is they're getting a small amount of money and they're trying to make it go as far as you can. And in America, in the supermarket, the way you do that is the frozen food section, you know?
Well, this is an issue that could be extending to millions of low-income Americans if the Trump administration has its way. They would like to...
Trump having his way.
he's had his way many, many times.
Grab him by the what?
So his proposal calls for a 25% spending cut to SNAP and would partially replace those food stamps that they cut with boxes of canned goods in a way that looks rather like the less desirable aspects of the Native American program. What do you think about that?
I still fall back to the fact that these grocery stores are throwing away nearly half of everything they bring in. And they, okay, here's what angers me, right? Grocery stores have to pay to have their goods shipped in, and then they don't sell them. Then they don't sell them. What incentive do they have to pay to have that food shipped to somewhere else to give it away? It's far cheaper for them in labor packing the trucks and in the trucks transportation. To just throw it away.
Well, that's why they buy those lower end discount grocery stores where they ship their stuff that their good customers didn't buy. The poor people then have a shot at it.
You're such an ass for calling poor people bad customers.
They're not bad customers. They go to cheap stores.
I mean, it's what you just said, but whatever.
No,
I
didn't. They don't go to Raley's in Bel Air. They go to Save Mart. Raley's in Bel Air own stores like that where they ship their garbage to for the poor folks to pick it up because it's getting smelly and green.
Wow, wow. I can't even respond. I'm gonna move on. The fact is that the government could save more money and feed and serve more people if they were funneling their funds into transporting goods from these nice stores to food banks or to lower income grocery stores. Probably not the lower income grocery stores, because they're still making a profit on the food once it's sold, but they should subsidize.
Then when it leaves the low end grocery stores, then it goes to the people.
No. You can fill the low end grocery stores, and then there's still more to choose from. So it's like you can give it away and sell it for greatly reduced and still kind of cover everybody. Yeah. But I just think the government should subsidize transporting that food to food banks so that we can get good lettuce and carrots. And I don't need enough vegetables to know what's
healthy.
Well, you
sound like White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney, who likens the box food program to Blue Apron, which is a high-end subscription food service that delivers ingredients with recipes to people's homes.
Well, that guy sounds like he's sugarcoating it a little.
Yeah, people well-versed in government commodity programs know that it doesn't always happen that way, you know? Like, the government doesn't always do everything perfectly.
No, shocker. You mean the government doesn't always follow through with what they say?
And the biggest complaint, a lot of complaints, one of them is the box program wouldn't give recipients very much autonomy over their food choices. To which I say, have you ever heard beggars can't be choosers?
Well, and
if I'm hungry, give me anything.
With autonomy, you're still subject to the prices of goods and what's accepted by your program. So even mm-hmm. if I have autonomy, my choices are so limited that if I want to make a financially savvy choice, I'm going to buy garbage goods that's bad for my family.
Yeah, so if they can figure out a way to get them fresh, good stuff and say, hey, here's your options, I might be more on board with it. Guess what they're trying to do? They're going to do it on Native American reservations first because...
Of course.
Well, this is Native American advocates, people who are Native, who are working with them. They're getting these boxes full of garbage, okay? They've been trying to move away from these delivered boxes and instead set up food sites that look like grocery stores. So this stuff comes from this Ooh. Program, but it looks like a grocery store. You just go in and pick your stuff out. And they're also trying to incorporate more staples of the native diet, like wild rice, bison, salmon, blue corn. So you go in here and you say, okay, I want this, put it in your box and you check out. It doesn't cost you anything.
I like that a lot more, because if you were to just have a box delivered to you, maybe your family doesn't eat, I don't know, tortillas for whatever reason, and they include tortillas in your box. I'm throwing those in the garbage if I don't eat tortillas.
Exactly, but if you get to pick what you want, the next family who loves tortillas can stock up on them.
They can grab two instead of one because I didn't use mine. Yeah, exactly. I like this idea.
The Cherokee Nation of northeastern Oklahoma serves about 11,000 recipients who have access to seven... of these locations that are modeled after grocery stores. So they're already doing it down in the Cherokee land. Recipients can pick up cartons of milk instead of powdered milk. What they do is they boil it. Okay. So it's like canned milk, basically. It doesn't taste quite the same, but it's not as bad as the powdered garbage. Right. They can get frozen or fresh pork chops, hamburger, and bison instead of canned meat. And there are also fresh fruits and vegetables instead of canned versions.
Yes.
So this is all good stuff.
It is. It is.
Think about Pine Ridge, where you've got 40,000 residents spread over 3,500 square miles and only three supermarkets.
Oh, come on.
You know, so the thing is, the harvest box concept, what we've been talking about, probably doesn't have much of a chance of moving forward in Congress because the Trump administration has said... We just suggested it really to rile up liberals.
Wow. Way to go, Donald. Oh, can I share my food box story? My favorite food box ever?
All right, go ahead.
So I get this huge box, and I think I'm so lucky, and I carry it out, and I can barely handle it to my trunk, and I open it up. It is just potatoes.
What?
And like sliced potatoes, sliced frozen potatoes, like 70 pounds of them, right? And so I think to myself, all right, I guess I'm just eating potatoes for the next month. And so then I was hauling this huge box of potatoes upstairs, and my downstairs neighbors at the apartment were coming out with their own big ass box. And I was
giving out potatoes?
I was like, oh, you got potatoes too? And they were like, no, we just got bacon. We're gonna go throw it away. And I was like, what? What? You have a box of bacon? They're like, yeah, like 70 pounds of it. And I'm like, pass it up here. And I kid you not, like the next 3 weeks solid, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack was all bacon and potatoes.
Wow. All right. Thank you for sharing that. And
just,
thank
you. Know, on a note of eating healthy, that's what it'll
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That sounds healthy. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. That will do it for us today. But we'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. Check us out on facebook.com/Native Talk Radio. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to the nativetalk.net radio podcast, the podcast that thinks it's cool. You're listening to the nativetalk.net radio podcast. Watch out. Our conversations are so hot, you might break out in a sweat. Now, grab your nets and let's go fishing.
I had to do a different one because it was about to repeat one we already
did
today.
I heard that.
All right. Have a great day, guys.